WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump says he selected former Congressman Lee Zeldin from New York as administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, saying Zeldin will ensure fair and swift deregulatory decisions to unleash the power of American businesses while also maintaining the highest environmental standards. Trump will meet with President Biden at the White House on Wednesday. Today at Arlington National Cemetery on Veterans Day, Biden said the greatest honor of his life has been
to lead you, to serve you, care for you, to defend you, just as you defended us, generation after generation after generation.
Major airlines canceling flights to Haiti after a Spirit flight from Fort Lauderdale was hit by gunfire while attempting to land in Port-au-Prince. A flight attendant suffered minor injuries. A new record high for Wall Street, the Dow up 304 points to close above 44,000 for the first time ever. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is such a weird story. In Green Lake County, authorities say a man faked his own death and fled to Europe. A 45-year-old Ryan Borgwart was on his kayak back in August, and he ended up going missing. Authorities put on this huge search. They used drones and sonar, but Borgwart was presumed dead. Divers searched for him, and so did cadaver dogs. The sheriff's office continued looking for more than 6 weeks. Well, now the sheriff says 2 days after he allegedly went missing, Borgwart's passport was checked by officials in Canada. They say he bought a new life insurance policy earlier this year and had a relationship with a woman in Uzbekistan. They now believe he's in Eastern Europe. The Green Lake County Sheriff's Office is asking anybody who knowingly or unknowingly helped him pull this off to come forward. A Wisconsin group is reuniting military members with their families. Many of you may be surprised to learn most service members have to buy their own tickets home. And for the holidays, reunions, weddings, or just a visit, that can be pricey. Larry Jackson explains.
Many times they just can't afford to get that $2,000 ticket home from Okinawa or Japan or Germany.
Jackson created the Ben Jackson Foundation. His son died from an accident on his military base in Japan. He'd been home to visit his family in southern Wisconsin just beforehand, so his dad knows firsthand just how important those visits home can be. Learn more at benjacksonfoundation.org. And if you've driven down John Nolan, you've seen that the holiday lights are all up. They flipped the switch Saturday night on the Holiday Fantasy Inn lights. It takes hundreds of volunteers to set it up and keep it running, and most of the music comes from local groups. The lights are on every night from dusk until dawn, but you can get candy canes or dog treats at the end from 4:30 to 10 p.m. It's free with donations accepted. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
Jack Del Rio out at Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former NFL head coach Jack Del Rio is out of the Wisconsin Badgers football program after being charged with drunk driving late last Thursday night. The 61-year-old Del Rio was driving in the Madison area after midnight when he struck a road sign and drove through a residential fence. Del Rio, who was a head coach for the Jaguars and Raiders, has been serving as a senior advisor to Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Obviously, I've been in communication on Friday with our administration. Had some communication, obviously, with Jack, have sat down with him, and he'll be releasing a statement here, and he's going to resign and move on.
The Badgers host number one ranked Oregon Saturday night. NBA, the Bucks had a 17-point lead in the first half, then let it slip away in the third quarter, losing at home to the Celtics 113-107. The Bucks are now 2-8. How can they turn it around?
Well, we just got to dig ourselves out of this hole. We created it, all of us, me, them.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We've got a cold front dropping through the state today that's whipping our winds up feisty, gusting around 40 miles per hour. With partly cloudy skies and crashing temps throughout the afternoon, we've got to slap at least a 5 to 10 degree wind chill on top of the cooler air. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Always a good time when you stop in at Ooga Brewing in Beaver Dam. Uga Brewing Company would like to give thanks to past and present members of the armed forces by offering all veterans one free drink this Veterans Day. And everyone is invited to Uga's pre-turkey party November 27th, featuring live music by Noah James Hittner. Uga Brewing Company, located at 301 South Spring Street, part of Beaver Dam's vibrant downtown.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk with Judy Davidoff. She's the publisher of Isthmus.
And you'll get the scoop on how I almost lost my pinky finger.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be part of this fine production. Call us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. is on the board. We got some guests. A big show for you folks today. Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin is going to join us at 4:30 today. And my favorite socialist, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy up at UW Green Bay. He will join at 5 o'clock. Well, we're not quite a week in, but, you know, we're getting there. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot to deal with, but, you know, we're managing and we're getting there. We're here. You're here.
We're here.
I'm here, right? Our minds are still spinning, perhaps. And, perhaps. You know, dealing with the consequences of losing this election. The incoming Trump administration is starting to line up some of their cabinet picks, and we're going to dive into some of that today as well. But first, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. Joe Biden spoke today in honor of the veterans. I think we should start with the current president. Let's start with the a little sugar. Let's keep it sweet. Let's keep it positive. The sacred obligations for our veterans. Let's hear what Biden had to say on today's Veterans Day.
We have many obligations, but only one truly sacred obligation. Sacred. To prepare those we send into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they return home and when they don't.
And when they don't, of course, the greatest sacrifice that can be made. President Biden honoring the veterans today. Cut number two, please, Jess.
It's been the greatest honor of my life to lead you, to serve you, to care for you, to defend you, just as you defended us generation after generation after generation.
The president, he addresses the PACT Act. This is the Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act. That's PACT. The VA to basically cover some more toxic substances. Here's what the president had to say in that regard.
I'm proud to announce that the VA will expand the number of cancers covered under the PACT Act.
And finally, Joe Biden.
God willing, we will make sure that any rare condition you've developed is covered. We're committed to getting this rule in place by the end of my term.
Good luck. I mean, I certainly appreciate that. It makes total sense. Why would we not have things covered through the VA for those that would, you know, sacrifice themselves for our country? Sure, maybe they, you know, they got out alive, but now you're poisoned with X, Y, or Z for the rest of your life. Certainly we as a society, as a civilization, as a country should certainly get behind our veterans. So there was the president honoring the veterans today on Veterans Day. Thank you to all the veterans out there. As mentioned, going to have Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin at 4:30. But the local news regarding Wisconsin today, making a little bit of national news as well. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing arguments over the 1849 abortion ban. Yes, we're still talking about this. This is still going on, according to the Journal Sentinel, Jessica Van Ingeren, and our friend Jesse Poyam. The future of abortion access in Wisconsin, now in the hands of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The good news is, though, Justice, as written here, a liberal-leaning court.
Thank goodness.
They heard oral arguments today whether an 1849 law specifically bans abortions or whether subsequent laws or court rulings override the 175-year-old statute. Now, Dane County Circuit Court Judge Diane Shipler ruled in December of 23 that the law in question does not apply to abortion, but to feticide. The consensual abortion, a consensual abortion, is sought out by a pregnant woman who voluntarily determines to end a pregnancy. Shipler's ruling was based on a 1994 state Supreme Court decision that determined feticide is a non-consensual act in which somebody batters a woman to the point she loses a pregnancy. So different, right? Definitionally different. Attorney General Josh Call argued in the lawsuit that the 1849 law has been invalidated by abortion laws passed since Roe v. Wade decision, including requirements that a woman must undergo an ultrasound before an abortion, along with a counseling appointment and a 24-hour waiting period, and restrictions on medication abortions and telehealth access. Now, Liberal Justice Rebecca Dalek quickly challenged the validity of the 19th century law, emphasizing it was passed before women and men had equal rights. Well, do we have that now? I guess I'm not clear.
Working on it.
We're still working on that. In 1849, Dallas said the only people who had rights were white men with property. 1849. Or as the Republicans would say, the good old days. Justice Jill Karofsky, also a member of the court's liberal majority, said upholding the 1849 law, which makes no exceptions for cases of rape, incest, or the health of the mother, would mean signing the death warrants of women and children.
Yep.
We hopefully will get some sort of resolution to this because, again, folks, you know, self-governance, this thing never, ever ends. And we have a Wisconsin Supreme Court election coming up next year as well. So there we go. That's the current news. Make it all the national news here in the state of Wisconsin. Still a thing, still fighting it. And hopefully that liberal Wisconsin Supreme Court will make the right decision. Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times, like this guy, old cat, says what's on his mind. He has a
you relate?
Not that old, Jess, you know. But of course, the years between us is probably close to the years between me and Dave. We knew he was a monster, then we elected him anyway. You know, it's been interesting, certainly. This past weekend, we had a party at the house, and my cousin came in from Detroit, watched the Detroit Lions game last night, and wow, what a comeback. But anyway, we're not going to go into sports. So getting together with friends, it was scary movie night. You know, every year we have, Steph organizes a party, about a dozen friends and family come over, and we eat, drink, smoke, and watch scary movies. And we have like one main event. And then we watch a bunch of goofy classics or whatever the case may be. And we all just sit around and just have a great time. It's a great escape. And it's been a lot of fun to unplug for me since, I don't know, like Friday at 6 o'clock till about 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I am... You know, still processing everything, and
it's going to be a while.
Yeah, and I vacillate between my feelings and whatnot, and I am concerned for, you know, friends and family and folks that are taking it really hard, and I get it. You know, the feelings are real, and the threat is real. Some of the discussions of it that come across my ears, moving out of the country. You know, that thing we're leaving that. Like Cartman from South Park, F you guys, I'm going home. And making that home somewhere else. And again, I totally can appreciate that. And hell, if you got the resources to do so, even if you don't, you know, expat, you can You can telecommute, essentially. You can be a digital nomad. There's some countries that give breaks.
Yeah, that was a new phrase to me today.
Yeah, digital nomad.
Digital nomad.
You get a visa for 6 months, maybe up to a couple of years in several countries, and you can go kind of go work abroad. But certainly you have to, again, have the resources, number one, the job, the employment, number two, and the, it's called social and family liberation variable opportunity to not, you know, to be able to walk away for 6 months, man, mm-hmm, and not see family, mm-hmm, friends or whatever, or however the case may be. Hell, I even saw a headline like 4 year cruises. You know,
4 year,
oh my God,
cruises.
Kill me now. Oh, I mean, boy. Being a boat for 4 years. I mean, it could be. It'd have to be really, really bad. It'd have to be like World War Z bad, mm-hmm, like zombie, mm-hmm, apocalypse, mm-hmm, for me to get on a boat for 4 years.
That's a long time to be on a boat.
That's a long time. So I get it. I get it. But don't do that. Don't do that.
Nah, man.
Nah, just don't do that. We stay and we fight and we argue and we try to, you know, learn the lessons of our past failures. And it's not all on us. I blame Jess. It's not all on us.
Hey, now.
You know, there's parties involved. There's big money involved. There's lots of, you know, there's so many things. It can feel overbearing sometimes. And I totally get the inclination to just say, F this, F that, I'm going. But then there's one less person, you know, here to stand up against what we know is sure to come. Some of the other conversations, you know, loading up on beans and rice and, you know, all the prepper,
yeah,
stuff.
The bunker tendencies, yeah, they're waking up.
I get that. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but my parents were a little odd. And I grew up born in Livonia, Michigan, you know, Metro, mm-hmm, Detroit. Dad took a job at Kimberly-Clark, so I ended up in Stevensville, Wisconsin, on the top of a hill in the middle of the country. And my parents weren't really preppers, I wouldn't say, because they didn't have any guns. So good luck, you know, keeping all the stocks with someone who has a gun can just come take it. But, you know, I digress. We had all sorts of, like, you know, vacuum packed beans and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, life goes on and, you know, parents get divorced and we move on. All that stuff just got thrown away. So, I think, like, in my lifetime, what have we had to worry about? Well, the one that's most, you know, recent, of course, is the pandemic. And short of, you know, people loading up their pickup trucks with all the toilet paper they can possibly hold, it wasn't. And short of course, the inflationary impact and some of the products not being available, or whatever, we didn't have that kind of problem. Now, the pandemic, is it going to be different than a Trump administration? You know, hopefully millions won't die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful. But even in that circumstance, I didn't feel, you know, the need. Me personally, again, these are all our way of dealing with things. I'm not judging. I'm just giving it out there. Don't tell me what I think about it. And I think that that's maybe not necessary. Now, if you need to get a couple of a week's worth of rice and beans or a month's worth, I mean, that's not a big deal, whatever. If you're going to load up your entire, you know, basement for you know, years supply, mm-hmm, I mean, that, mm-hmm, seems a little extreme. But I'm just saying, when we talk about how we handle these things, you know, to just give it up and go away. No, that's not, I mean, that's an option, but please don't do that. I'm going to start prepping and staying in and doing. Well, I mean, if you're concerned, certainly do what you have to do to alleviate your concerns. Your emotions are real. They're real. They're as real for you as they are for the preppers who started doing that when Obama got elected. So I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying that maybe those kinds of things aren't necessary. They're healthy to the fact that they can help you deal. But the practical implications, at least right now, I don't know if that's really necessary. But we're here. We're here to help deal. We're here to help get along. And we're all going to do this together. And I'm not loading up. I got guns. I'll just go, you know, take someone else. I'm just kidding. I would say that to my parents. So why do we have all this stuff when someone got a gun? Just come take it. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with your calls, 855-752-4842.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
Optimism alone is not enough to ward off despair, but hope can. Regardless of how things may turn out, hope is what can still get you to the better place eventually. Mm-hmm. So you don't have hope because you expect things to turn out well. You have hope because what that hope is rooted in is worth it regardless.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And welcome back to the Dom Salve Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We got some early innovators on the text line. Let's get to a few of those. Gary from Madison, he writes, listening to Dom, starting to understand him, he's a little wacko, but we're all a little wacko.
And, you know, that's why we love you.
I mean, yeah, you know, I never said I was sane, man. You know, we're all a victim of our circumstances, Gary, but I appreciate you listening. I mean, it'd be boring. I mean, it can't be normal, quote unquote, but I don't even know what that
overrated.
Is. I don't know what that is.
Someone once said that's a setting on a wash machine.
Right.
Not for people.
No, not at all. Make it hot and spin it fast. Cam, and I've heard these things before. I'm just going to throw this out there and we'll just address this briefly. I'm going to suggest you and Dom no longer run phrases like we lost the election. It's doing us more harm, as several investigations have the possibility to start up here soon. As conspiracy theory as it sounds, actually have a source. Stephen Spoonamore, a renowned white hat hacker, wrote a duty to inform letter to Governor Shapiro, believes the machines have code in them that only triggers on election night, or code to the tabulation machines, which are connected to the internet, could alter the traffic. Listen, if I am not doing that, I am not going there. If there is to be a thing, then you know what? Then we'll get who's the pillow guy? Have Lindell. You know, do the $1 million giveaway and prove it. You know, come on, guy. We can't do that. If there is evidence, sure, okay. But short of that, as far as I know, we lost. Harris lost. She conceded the race.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's putting his crew together. I mean, I don't know what you're looking for or what you can hope to accomplish by that. It sounds like the same things that the writers were saying when Biden won, man.
Yeah.
I mean, so same thing I said then. If there's evidence, bring it forth and mm-hmm. prosecute the case. If not, you know, don't be like that. Let's not do that. 855-752-4842. I mean, and I've seen it all of socials, and I try not to stay away. I've been unplugged, but I can't, you know, some things pop up here and there. And I did see, and I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me. we're going to go down the same thing and do the same stuff and react in the same manner that the right wingers did when Biden won, somehow stolen. And it would seem to me that there should be some court cases lined up then. Know what I mean? Where is the money going behind that? So until there's some actual action, a lawsuit, until some of those things, come on. Rumors on the internet, males will be, talking trash at the bar. It doesn't matter. Until there's some sort of evidence and some sort of action by those who can find the evidence, are willing to fund the lawsuits.
Right.
Let's not go there. But if you got something, you got some proof, let me know. 855-752-4842. We do have Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Cinnikin coming up at the bottom of the hour. One of the bright spots, one of the few bright spots in this election. But I did start talking about the Cap Times, Dave Zweifel. We knew he was a monster. We elected him anyway. Let me throw this one out there before Jody comes along with us. The messages came fast and furious first thing Wednesday morning. Oh, yes, they did. One of my regular trolls demanded to know how I was feeling today, linking his sarcasm to a string of crying emojis. Several fans sent messages of disbelief, one insisting he was going to jump off a cliff. Don't do that. Another sent a copy of Garrison Keillor's post-election column in which the celebrated Minnesota humorist declared that journalism is dead. There's no point in stating facts anymore. I'm going back to fiction, he wrote. It worked beautifully for the Don, and now it's my turn. Keillor spelled out what we have to look forward to. Quote, the country voted against politics Tuesday and voted in a man who will fix everything. He will make Ukraine and Gaza disappear. Big tax cuts. Bobby Kennedy Jr. will end fluoridation.
There you go.
No more fluoride in the water because, that's bad. And eliminate bad vaccines. Elon Musk will cut $2 or $3 trillion from the national budget. The U.S. Army will round up 10 or 11 million undocumented migrants, many of whom are employed on farms or in hotels or nursing homes. And the profound results of all of this are on the heads of the Make America Cruel Again people. My old Claire stalwart, Steve Anderson, sent a photo of a solemn guy standing in front of the Resolute desk with Trump seated in the chair with the caption, imagine, if you will, a country that destroyed fascism in one great war only to vote for it willingly two generations later. Damn, sounds like the Twilight Zone.
Absolutely.
Imagine if you will. Zweifel goes on. Admittedly, it was hard to take, especially considering that one candidate had broken laws, was a convicted felon, threatened to use his powers to punish his opponents, while the other was a competent district attorney general, and senator who had served 4 years as a capable vice president and promised to embrace her opponents in her administration. Trouble is, unfortunately, she was a woman and a black one at that. His voters deny that had anything to do with it, but the facts are pretty clear. Before the election, I had finished New York Times chief White House correspondent Peter Baker's and New Yorker's Susan Glasser's The Divider, a book documenting the 4 years of chaos that marked Trump's first term in office. I wished everyone would read that book before voting in an election that could put this dangerous and unhinged man back in power. Too late now, it turns out. Come on, people aren't reading. If that's not on a Substack or not on a Joe Rogan podcast, no one's reading that, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
He will now be even more dangerous with his conquered Republican Party, maybe in control of both houses of Congress. Yeah, probably. The nation's publisher, Katrina VandenHeuvel, offered some solace. This is not a moment to lose, she wrote. We must harness our fears, our grief, and yes, our anger to resist the dangerous policies Donald Trump will unleash on our country. We rededicate ourselves to our role as journalists and writers of principle and conscience. And that's exactly what needs to be done, writes Dave. Trump and his legions of yes men will stage an all-out assault on America's institutions and its most vulnerable people during the next 4 years. One of my colleagues back in my reporting days, a Navy veteran, used to complain about his boss. We have a madman at the helm. Well, now we actually do. And he's a leader of our country. It's essential we stand up to him until the day we can correct this wrong. Dave Zweifel, editor emeritus of the Cap Times. You can find it at captimes.com.
As well as in our podcast.
And folks, in the podcast, yes. Download the Civic Media app and take us with you. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Cinnikin going to join us next. Stick around.
Avoid
voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Today, the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments on Wisconsin's abortion law. It was put into effect in 1849 and it outlaws feticide. When Roe v. Wade was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, Wisconsin effectively reverted back to that law. But last year, a Dane County judge ruled that based on the wording, the law only applies to feticide, meaning when someone hurts the mother and a fetus dies. The judge said it does not apply to consensual abortion. That ruling made Planned Parenthood staff resume abortion care in some Wisconsin locations. Attorney General Josh Call is asking for further clarification for providers. The court currently has a 4-3 liberal majority. UW-Madison police say black students got racist text messages after Election Day. These texts were sent out all over the country. They told people they'd need to show up at a certain time and place and they'd be enslaved. Many of them name-check President-elect Donald Trump, and sometimes when people get these messages, the sender addresses the person by their first name. UW police say there's no evidence these threats are credible, but encourages students to report them. The CEO of the NAACP says these messages are meant to spread hate and stoke the flames of fear. And gas prices are still falling across Wisconsin, dropping 3 cents over the last week. Here's Melissa Kay.
The average across the state today is $2.81 per gallon. This is 25.5 cents lower than a month ago and over 28 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say the average in the U.S. is the lowest since 2021 at $2.95 per gallon. This was anticipated in Gas Buddy's official annual fall outlook from December of 2023. Prices have been dropping for 4 consecutive weeks as seasonal demand weakens. Elections have come and gone, but gas prices have stayed the course. Officials say prices could continue to drop as we get closer to Thanksgiving.
I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're a Star Wars fan, prepare to go into a lather. There is a new trilogy in the works from Lucasfilm. Writer-producer Simon Kinberg will write, produce, and develop the 3 new Star Wars films. It's been 5 years since we saw The Rise of Skywalker, which was the most recent Star Wars film in theaters. Since then, Lucasfilm brought us 3 shows in the Mandalorian world, including The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, and the upcoming Skeleton Crew. They also launched shows The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor. Simon Kinberg is known for his writing and producing skills for several X-Men films and 2016's Deadpool. Variety reports the new trilogy is in the early stages of development, so there are no story details just yet. There has also been no announcement on when production might start. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight with lows close to 30. Sunshine and again cooler tomorrow, highs near 50. Rain returns for Wednesday, highs in the upper 40s. But back into sunshine for Thursday and Friday, highs near 50 Thursday, mid-50s Friday. Right now it's 45.
Always a good time when you stop in at Ooga Brewing in Beaver Dam. Ooga Brewing Company would like to give thanks to past and present members of the Armed Forces by offering all veterans 1 free drink this Veterans Day. And everyone is invited to Ooga's pre-turkey party November 27th, featuring live music by Noah James Hittner. Ooga Brewing Company, located at 301 South Spring Street, part of Beaver Dam's vibrant downtown.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06. The woman is a fountain of positivity. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you right now, Wisconsin State Senator-elect Jody Habesch-Sinikin. Congratulations on a bright spot in an otherwise bleak day. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
It is our pleasure to have you. New maps here in Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. Now, unfortunately, I moved away from the district this election cycle, Jody, so I couldn't vote for you this time. But new maps seemingly have helped. But you've labeled yourself, Jody, as a consensus builder as well. What do you think put you over the top here?
It really was that message. Our ground game and all the thousands of doors, the meet and greets, the phone calls, the tens of thousands of postcards. It was an enormous community effort with solidarity such like I've never experienced before. That really is what got us there. As I'm sure you're aware, the communities in this district were the only ones in the country, really, of the few who avoided that red wave. Washington County, Waukesha County, the portions in Senate District 8 really held strong and actually moved bluer.
Jody, you're still going to be in the minority in the state Senate, hell, even in the legislature as well, as not every, you know, all the senators were not up for election this cycle, and we'll still move, have elections in 2 years again. What would you like to see done? What do you think is important to produce and to do in order to fulfill your obligations, your promises, and what you think your constituents want?
Absolutely. What we want is progress. We want to move Wisconsin forward, get past all this partisan divisiveness and the take no prisoners approach, and start making the necessary improvements and investments in our local communities, in our education system, K-12 up through the university level. Codify Roe v. Wade and secure women's reproductive health for doctors and for families in Wisconsin. There are so many issues that we need to make progress on that have been held hostage for the last 10 plus years under the gerrymander.
And we'll have to continue to fight for those changes and moving forward. Jody Habesch-Sinikin, Wisconsin's 8th Senate District elect. Jody, there's been a lot of reflection here since the election last week. What's your experience? You've run before and you were not successful, and you keep trying, you keep fighting, you keep going, and you pulled it out this time. What lessons do you think you can that you learned will might be applicable to everyone's, you know, reevaluating and looking back at what happened in this election cycle?
My experience the first time around, as you are well aware, was under the old maps. There is a 12-point disadvantage to any Democrat running in then Senate District 8. Under the new maps, that was cut in half. So we still had about a 6-7 point disadvantage, but we were able to overcome it again by really speaking to folks about the value of legislators in Madison working across the aisle with one another, which has long been Wisconsin's tradition as a purple state. I think that that message of putting down a bit of the partisan camps that we've all separated ourselves in to really try to understand each other, what it is that we need in our communities, in our nation, and try to figure out a path forward. That seems to be what has been missing a bit, and I hope that we can heal and make some progress at the national level too.
Jody Habesch-Sinikin, Wisconsin State Senator-elect for the 8th Senate District here in the state of Wisconsin. Some of the criticism on the national level, Jody, has been, as a party, that perhaps the Democratic Party has not supported, not gone after and tried to woo the working class of this country. Obviously, you pulled this out. What's your assessment of that critique?
In my meetings, I've met with so many unions and folks concerned about labor and people across this district, which includes many, many working people in Butler, in Lannan, Menominee Falls, Port Washington, you name it. I am talking to those people, and I think that there has been a lot done in recent years with the infrastructure deal and others to create opportunities. The apprenticeship programs are phenomenal. I find them so inspiring in ways that we can help our young people move into good careers and good lives for their families of the future. So I think that some of it is a communication problem, that they haven't been able to express all the good that has been done and is going to continue. So that is really what I have experienced in our district, that we are doing very important things. And talk comes cheap. It's easy to say things and to make promises. But I think people should really look to see what has actually been done to help families.
Jody, you know, congratulations. I love the fact that you've continued to fight, and with these new maps, you were able to pull it out. And a lot of the reaction that I've seen and for success for governance is state and local government. I mean, if you want to make changes on the ground where you're at, you have to get involved on the local level. And we're always going to have to deal with a national issue, let's call it. But when it comes down to the state and local level, it becomes, you know, very hands-on, very personable, very face-to-face. Overcoming the communication if there's a difference in understanding of what the facts may be, as you mentioned, the Infrastructure Act and some of these efforts that were put forth and actually passed under the Biden administration, some folks didn't think it did anything for them. And some folks, when you talk about, well, you know, these tariffs could increase costs if proposed by the Trump administration, could actually increase costs and increase inflation. Some folks really don't hear that. How do you successfully breach that? Because people get very sensitive if they're not aware of a particular fact or in this environment. And I've had personal conversations with friends that have been really defensive about their position if I bring, you know, other facts and new facts to light. And when we deal on a personal level, on a state and local level, what's the best way, do you think, it is to approach, you know, perhaps a difference in not just opinion, but in what we would perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
Yeah, I think it's very much what you're saying is the conversation. First, having a conversation at all these many, many countless stores, I always would start with, what's top of mind for you? And try to understand what it is, where the concern lies, whether it is with healthcare, whether it is with taxes, whether it is with inflation, whether it is with community safety concerns, education, and start there. And try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions on where there can be progress. For example, in the Senate District 8 communities, there is these ongoing school referenda that have come up year after year after year in certain communities. And that's simply a consequence of there not being sufficient funding, notwithstanding the progress in shared revenues under Act 12. More needs to be done at the local level for more autonomy and more funding so that communities are not forced to have to raise their property taxes on themselves just to guarantee appropriate services and education for their children. That is money out of their pocket. Those increased costs at the local level just means that there's less money to pay for groceries, to pay for other life expenses. So I try to explain what we can do at the state level or at the local level. We sure as heck can't take on national price gouging by these corporations at the local level, but we can do things that keep more money in people's pockets here in Wisconsin, and of course, make those necessary investments in our schools and in our communities so that we can have the best possible lives for our families.
Jody, I always thought, you know, when the politicians say, oh, you know, first they're all about local control and then they're not about local control. Then they are about local control. So I guess it depends on what the circumstances are. But no one wants to raise taxes. No one wants to be no elected official wants to come in and say, I'm going to raise your taxes because we need to do X, Y, or Z. I thought in some regards, the politicians that voted for this were wimping out to the degree that now they don't have to make those hard, quote unquote, decisions. They're just going to let, you know, the referendum, and everyone's going to do their own referendum and let them raise taxes on themselves. And so now, you know, the politicians, they're not the bad guys, bad girls. You know what I'm saying? How much of that plays into it? That people just, the politicians, the lawmakers just don't want to have to be the ones to say, we're raising your taxes.
Yeah, I think it's even more than that, given the gerrymander. We have a $4 billion plus surplus, as in billion. We have opportunity to make necessary investments in those matters like childcare, like our schools, like our universities, etc. But it has been held hostage by this legislature, particularly by the Joint Finance Committee, where my opponent, Dewey Strobel, was a co-chair. There has been this partisan war to hold back the release of funding that we could go forward on. For example, the literacy bill that he touted time and again on the radio and in literature that he the legislature, approved and the governor signed off on $50 million to go into the schools for literacy coaches, curriculum, et cetera. But the Joint Finance Committee has held on to over $49.5 million of that 50. Same with PFAS remediation, same with the money due the Western Wisconsin hospitals, on and on. We have the money available to help families in Wisconsin and to lower costs and to help them. But it has been held hostage by these partisan wars.
Jody Habesh, Senekin, Wisconsin State Senator-elect for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. Just a few more minutes, Jody. On the education, the vouchers and school choice and those kinds of issues, it seems to me that we have basically a two parallel, and one of them an unfunded, school systems. Now, I was a product of private school, at least high school. My parents made that decision to pull me out of a public school and put me in a private school and went to Pocket to go do that. What's your sense on the seemingly massive growth over the last 20 years on school choice and school vouchers and so on? And is there some sort of unwinding or something that we can do to at least mitigate the continued growth? How do you see these two different parallel but different school issues proceeding in the next 6 years?
It's an excellent question. I, too, have been observing that growth. And what we basically are having now in Wisconsin is two separate school systems that require funding. And that is not sustainable. So what we need to make sure that we're taking care of is holding these school systems to similar standards of accountability and transparency. And particularly when it comes to special education funding, there needs to be comparable standards so that the public school system isn't unfairly burdened with special education needs that is paid at such a disparate rate than the voucher schools, which places enormous burdens and a disadvantage on our public school system. So there just needs to be a really good and careful look at this, because everyone, I think, can agree that we need an excellent education system for our children, for Wisconsin's future, for our economy. And there is so much dysfunction out there and lack of accountability that I'm very much hopeful that we're going to make some progress on this and address the concerns that you just raised.
Jody Habesh Senekin, Wisconsin State Senator-elect for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. Congratulations on your victory. The 8th Senate District is very lucky to have someone like you representing them. We look forward to you serving your seat and hope you come around a lot here in the future. Thank you so much, Jody.
Thank you, Dom. I appreciate it. Thanks, Jess.
Always.
Appreciate you.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Going to come back with some of your calls, 855-75-CIVIC.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
Brittany Merlot, it's time for a little weather and wine.
If you're a weather nerd like me, I know Jane, you are.
I like the
Do
weather.
Do you know what Coco Ross is?
What?
Coco Ross. COCORAHS. Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. You can actually help us meteorologists. All you do is put a rain gauge outside, and this is how I tell you guys how much rain Wisconsin got.
That sounds so Coco Ross.
It's a Coco Ross kind of moment.
Yeah. Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank our most recent guest, Jody Habish-Sinikin, Wisconsin State Senator-elect for the 8th District. Appreciate Jody coming around. She's a hard worker. I voted for her when I was still in the district last time around. Some new maps and keep on working. And she pulled it out. It was a close one, but she pulled it out. Congratulations. And I think the 8th Senate District will be pleased with her service during her term. And if there's a lesson to be learned, folks, just keep on going. None of it never ends. It doesn't end. Self-governance is always going to be here, whether you're involved or not. So I would rather have you involved, because if you're not... Otherwise, it's folks like CJ, 855-752-4842. Hey, CJ, our conservative buddy, congratulations on your victory. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Thanks, Dom, for taking my call. I did give many of your hosts a little break to try to recoup because it was an ass whooping. And I guess I've had fun listening to the pundits because, you know, and the blame game, because really, you know, it comes down to the candidate and the issues. And we listen to the Democrats and the party and the candidate tell us, you know, that what they were going to do for us. But then they denied that the economy for many people were in the tank. And you know, this is, you know, the world's on fire, and we need a guy like Donald Trump representing America, and he's going to take care of it. He's going to do what he said he was going to do, and the electric vote, you know, really wasn't even close.
You're absolutely right. It wasn't close, CJ. Let me ask you, what does success look like for the Trump administration? You talked about the economy and some of that hand-wringing, some of that reflection that you mentioned, talking about the pundits, is that, and Bernie Sanders articulated in such a fashion, basically, that, no surprise that working-class people walked away from the Dems because the Dems walked away from working-class people. Do you agree with Senator Sanders' assessment in that, CJ?
Yeah, I guess I do. I mean, it's an honest evaluation because, again, we listened how great the Biden-Harris economy was. Well, people didn't feel it. And, inflation is still with us. It went up 22% on most things. So even though it's down now, it's nowhere near what
sure.
it was.
Now, so and in that regard, then, if we can both agree that maybe is what should have happened, that there was been more effort and policy specifically pointed at America's working class folks, not just white working class, as Sanders said, now black and brown working class. If that's the case, then CJ, what policy does Trump do you think is going to execute that will, in fact, make inflation zero, as I heard Trump say, or will impact to the working class folks that the Dems apparently ignored in a positive manner? Because for what I'm seeing is tariffs, to my understanding, CJ, just raise costs, right? If you take out and deport, 10 million people, 8 million of whom are in the workforce and 17% of them are in agriculture and, a bunch of others in construction and service industries and so forth, that's also going to drive up cost. So I guess as it pertains specifically to benefit the working class folks, CJ, what is Trump going to do to do that? What does that look like? What does success look like in your head, CJ?
Well, I think it's going to be close the border, reduce inflation by producing energy, because yes, we're at a very high rate, but it's already evident the European Union stopped buying energy from Russia, and now they're going to buy it from America. The threat of this man coming into office and doing what he says he's going to do.
But okay, but hang on, if I may, closing the border CJ, hang on a second. Closing the border isn't going to raise working folks' wages. Europeans buying more oil from America versus not would be an increase in demand, and usually increase in demand comes with an increase in price if there's no additional supply. So again, I'm not clear that those actually impact inflation and wage growth for the working class. Last thought, CJ.
The threat of tariffs is enough to actually bring in competition. And for them to actually, like Mexico, they're now breaking up the caravan. And it does. We've spent $1 trillion already, over $1 trillion, housing, feeding, and health care for the illegal undocumented that have come in during the Biden-Harris. So they're going to rescind those executive orders of Biden-Harris. We're actually going to have a border czar, and it's going to create pay for Americans to have jobs first, not to house.
CJ, thanks, man, but I got to tell you, I don't think you're going to be the one, working at the slaughterhouse, man. I don't think you're going to be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go milking the cows, dude. I just don't see that happening. These policies are not, at least as we articulated and discussed today, don't seem to me to impact an increase the wage growth and to the benefit of America's working class. I don't see it. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that increasing the competition for the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip coming from China is going to do anything to pay, your kids' college tuition. Harvey K. coming up next, 855-752-4842.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation.